welcome to another episode of Magically Amateuring. That's right, another week has arrived, and we haven't been engulfed in a typhoon, so here we are again. We have a Cracker Jack show for you today.
Yep, that means that there's going to be a prize.
Stick your hand in this episode, see what you find.
And you didn't, I don't think you put your hand into a box of Cracker Jack to get the prize.
Well, you've never been a child.
Well, I guess I have.
I was so excited for the prize, that candy could get bent.
But I'm saying that you had to empty the Cracker Jack out. That box was too small to fit both the Cracker Jack and your hand. You had to empty it out.
I just went for it. I got popcorn hand.
But there's no room for your hand in there with the popcorn.
Somebody needs to send us a box of Cracker Jacks and a small child's hand. So we can solve this argument.
I'm going to rescind the request for a small child's hand.
All right. Well, I still asked for it, so it's up to all of you.
All right.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about Kaladesh pre-release.
That's right. The pre-release was this past weekend, and we hope that you got to crack as many exciting boosters as we did. Some of us cracked more exciting boosters than other.
Huh.
Maria.
I wonder who you're talking about.
Well, I don't know.
It was me. Remember last pre-release when I had two Gisellas and a Bruna in my sealed pool?
Yep.
Well, let's just tease it out by saying that this pool rivaled that one.
Holy buckets.
Yes. Yeah, so we're going to give stories from our pre-release and talk about that experience and kind of talk a little bit about what we think early thoughts on the format are.
Yeah.
We got a lot of response from you as well on Facebook and on Twitter, what you thought about the format. And there are some funny things that I wanted to read off about that as well. We have a For the Noobs coming at you all about evergreen mechanics, which are not people who work on cars who are also trees. But
it's not trees who work on cars, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Evergreen mechanics, trees who work on cars.
A person, half person, half tree. I don't know what you would call that.
What? No, it's a full tree.
I mean, I said people who work on cars who are also trees.
Oh, the cars are also trees?
No, the people are also trees.
The cars could also be trees. Like, they're like evergreen mechanics are mechanics who work on evergreens.
Yeah, could be. That's what I call myself if I was like somebody who had to cut down trees and pull out stumps.
You wouldn't be an arborist? It's pretty cool. Arborist is a cool word.
I'd be like, toot toot, the evergreen mechanic's pulling up. Here I am.
Are you in a train?
I'm in a golf cart in this scenario.
What golf carts toot?
Toot toot. I bring my own horn.
So
yeah, we're going to talk about evergreen mechanics as well as we've got a really fun flavor text theater segment. It's another Cosmo quiz.
That's right. This is coming to you courtesy of one of our Patreon donors who requested it as their topic literally like 3 years ago.
Yeah, you know what? We'll get to it.
Exactly.
That's our promise. The MTA promise. We'll get to your topic. And the Cosmo quiz was, if you have only been a recent listener to the show, something we did on a very old episode where we identified which planeswalker you are.
Yes. Today we're going to be settling a much more important issue, which is which Kaladesh gremlin are you?
Yes.
We have made a quiz to help you identify which of Kaladesh's many gremlins you are.
But before we do any of that, we need to say thank you, of course, to anybody who has joined us on Patreon since the last episode. Welcome to the Less Than 1% Club. Yay!
Your donations keep the show running, us on the air, this light on in our studio.
Yes. We have one. We would like it to be two.
We would like it. I was going to say we would like it to be on.
Oh, yes. And also
on. We have
on.
One. We would like it to be on.
Yeah, so thank you so much if you've joined. If you haven't yet, please consider it. We're close to our next goal, and it'd be awesome if you were the one to push us up over the top to keep the show growing because, you know, we've got big plans, you and I, for the show, and we hope to enact them in the near future, but we can only do it with your help. If the show gives you any kind of joy whatsoever, I would consider throwing as little as a dollar per episode at us. It would mean the world to us, quite truthfully. And we have a big thank you, of course, to our sponsors, Card Kingdom.
Thanks.
Hit it right out of the park. You can go to cardkingdom.com/mtacast If you want to buy any singles for the upcoming standard season, I'm pretty excited about it. I hope to, you know, that's something I never thought I'd hear myself say. I'm excited for standard, but
yeah,
I
but
am.
Yeah, but you got a taste for it.
I did.
Yeah,
I got
did.
A taste of blood, and I want more.
It is an excellent place where you can both sell cards. You can sell, you know, maybe your old standard staples to get some new standard staples, or invest in something bigger like a modern or a legacy deck, or, you know, just boosters, because who doesn't love boosters?
Yeah, and you get great trade-in prices as well, so
exactly.
Turn in your cards and keep drafting. That's what I say.
Cardkingdom.com/MTAcast.
All right, do you want to do a show?
Yes.
Oh, I thought she'd say maybe, but she said yes.
What were you going to say if I said maybe? We can try it again. Go.
Okay, so are you ready to do a show?
Maybe.
I'm hopeful.
That was your big response?
Yes.
This is the big response you had planned? God damn it.
What if I wrote down this little sheet, Megan, are you ready to do this show? Check yes or no. She checked no. I'm going to the prom alone, the podcast prom.
Man, podcast prom is so weird. You blindfold everybody so you only recognize them by their voices.
Sounds kinky.
Yeah. Like, after I described it, I felt weird about it. But it's totally normal. Nobody touches because you can't touch a voice.
I hope our voices touch you, though. That's just too short. For the noobs, Evergreen Mechanics.
That's right. Mechanics that we get to see year-round, just like we get to see trees year-round.
Stay green.
Unless yours are the kind of trees that migrate. Like geese.
Whoa, that would be a bizarre thing.
Can you imagine if trees like grew legs and walked off for a couple of months?
I can imagine it because I've seen Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's true. It's pretty similar, but that's not the whole forest. That's like select. I'm talking about the whole thing.
The whole forest
like,
just leaves.
Literally every tree in Minneapolis would just be like, nope.
So there'd be like a big field where there wasn't one before?
Yes, exactly. Or like your front yard, which has a tree in it. No tree there.
I wouldn't mind if my tree went on vacation. Jeez.
Cool. But 5 months. I'm talking about the whole, it migrates like a goose.
Go to Florida for winter. That's fine, I guess. I mean, yeah. It would really save a lot of trees' lives who are about to become Christmas trees. That's for sure.
Oh, man. If only those Christmas trees could grow legs and walk away.
Have you ever seen The Happening?
Is that the M. Night Shyamalan one?
Yes.
The one where all the plants get back at us for fucking them over?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't.
Don't.
Because I've heard it's garbage.
So a mechanic that's evergreen, we're gonna talk about it.
Yes, not too long ago.
Yeah.
Although it was back now around cons.
Yeah.
So that was three sets. There were a couple of new ones that were added. And you know, that's cool.
So a mechanic normally that's not evergreen, for instance, will be something that changes from set to set. So you won't see it all the time.
We have lots of set-specific mechanics.
Yes.
In Shadows, it's something like Investigate. In Kaladesh so far, we have something like Fabricate. Those are set-specific mechanics that you're only going to see on that particular plane. Sometimes they bring them back on a different plane if they have similar kind of feels.
So, for instance, an evergreen mechanic is something you'll see across planes. An example of one would be Death Touch, which...
Or flying,
which we've seen, you know, all the time. It happens in every set.
Lifelink.
But they just recently added a few new ones to the lexicon, and we thought we'd talk about them just because if you're a newer player, you might not even know that these are evergreen mechanics, or you might not know how to best make use of them. And mm-hmm. It's a good thing to know how to best make use of them because guess what? They're going to be around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, one of the new ones that recently got added was Menace.
That's right. I think that was added at Origins, was the first time that we saw that word pop up. And Menace just is the old text would read, this creature, oh gosh, now I don't even remember.
Must be blocked by
two or more creatures. Exactly. So it just means that creature.
But like if it's blocked. Well, yes. Let me look up the Oracle actually, because I'm kind of interested.
That's actually very smart.
What it actually is.
So Menace is it's a type of evasion. It's, you know, it's not quite as classic evasion as flying, for instance.
Yeah, that's just flying is classy.
Exactly. It's a classy mechanic. But Menace gives, you know, a color like red, which you don't have a ton of red flyers. You have dragons sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It gives them a way to also have evasion. Obviously, if your opponent only has like one creature, then sweet, your creature with Menace can get in.
Yeah.
If they only have two, but one of them is like their sweet bomb and they don't want to block with it, then like, awesome, you're going to be able to get in there. Oh, your computer. My computer is
so
super.
By the way, it's update. It like updated last time and it just turned on and it said, hi. On just a like black screen, it faded up the word hi. It was very disconcerting.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Anyway, I'm going to go to a computer that's not creepily talking to me when I didn't ask it to. And just move for a moment onto this one. So yeah, Megan brings up a good point, though, in using Menace. Like, it's not only to potentially be blocked by two smaller creatures. It's a decision. If you want to kill off their bomb and you know they're going to have a bad block because maybe they have a silly 2/1, but maybe they also have a bomb and you're swinging for 5, they are pretty incentivized to block with their sweet bomb.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's sort of like, I feel like it's kind of akin to green, which has trample, as it's, you know, it's not complete evasion, but it is a way to push through damage even if your opponent has a blocker. If their blocker isn't able to soak up all the damage from the trample creature, you're still going to be able to get some in there. This is red's equivalent to that.
I'm trying to... oh my gosh, okay, I have to go to an advanced...
Boggart Brute,
thank you.
That is one. I remember that guy. This is a pretty good card. That was a 3-2 for 3 with Menace?
Oh yeah, he is.
Yeah.
This creature can't be blocked except by 2 or more creatures.
So there you go. They cannot block it with 1. If you try, Magic Online will be like, that's an illegal block. If you try it in person, your opponent or a judge will be like, you can't do that. So there you go.
Yep. All right, so the next one we're going to talk about is Scry, which is initially why I wanted to bring this up. So at the pre-release, I was playing with a card called Aether Theorist, which a lot of people were because it's a neat little card. It's 1 and a blue for a 1/3. Mm-hmm. When it enters the battlefield, you get 3 energy counters, and you can pay 1 and tap it. 1 energy counter, that is, and tap it to scry 1. So scry, of course, is look at the top card of your library. You may put that card on the bottom of your library, or you can just leave it there right on top. So my opponent was scrying in his either first or second main phase, which in some cases can be correct if you're looking, you know, for a specific reason, if you perhaps have a draw spell that you're going to play that's, you know, happening later that turn. But in this scenario, it wasn't really to the benefit of what was going on in the game. So scry, I think, is something good to have in your back pocket to do on the end of your opponent's turn. And this is something a lot of people were doing with Scryfish. Way back in the day in Theros. Do you remember Scryfish?
Yeah, which after Theros is when Scry became an evergreen mechanic.
Probably because of Scryfish. Everyone loves that fish so much.
It was pretty great. And of course, we now get to see Scry regularly also with the Vancouver Mulligan rule.
Yes, exactly. So actually, a reason that I know that Scry was made evergreen is because Wizards is constantly looking for new ways to make the game play better more often. So having no mana in your hand or having too much mana, that kind of thing, is never really a fun game for you to play. Not as fun as it could be at the very least. So Scry helps smooth out your draws. It makes for a little better gameplay experience, and I'm really happy that we're going to be seeing more and more of it as more Magic sets get printed.
Yeah, I think Scry is super interesting also because there's a certain extent to which it is beneficial for all players, no matter your skill level. Because a lot of the times, you know, whether you're, you know, even if you're not choosing maybe the optimal time to scry, or you're, if you have a pick of like a spell that's on top of your library and you spend a long time thinking about it, okay, those, like, there are more nuanced decisions that do, give, you know, higher, they're better for players who are using, like, who are more experienced using them or who are spending more time making that decision. But at the same time, it's also an ability where if, you know, you don't have to have been playing that long. If you have 6 lands in play and you're looking for a spell because you have all lands and you scry and you see a land on top, it's really easy to be like, I definitely don't want that.
Right, right.
And I've even heard some people say that, like, scry is interesting in that a lot, it's... the times when it makes the most difference are not the times when it's a very close decision. When it's like, maybe I want this spell on top.
Absolutely.
Maybe I don't. The times when it makes the biggest difference are those times when it's like, nope, I definitely don't
get
want that
here, land.
Or like, nope, this creature is going to be completely outclassed on this board and I need to dig for things that I know are in my library that are better than this.
Yeah. So the Vancouver Mulligan allows you to scry if your starting hand size is less than 7. And you can't scry 2 if you go, for instance, to 5. But I asked a question. I can't remember who I was talking to this about. And I was like, do you think it would be beneficial in limited tournaments to let you scry 2 after mulling to 5? And they were like, yeah, I think that wouldn't be as bad as in constructed format where you could really dig pretty deep down into your constructed deck to find your combo or something like that, where mm-hmm. it would be a little more impactful. But yeah, so I'm kind of like, maybe one day we'll be able to scry 2 at a sealed GP if we mull to 5.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway. I love scrying. And also, just as a quick reminder, something like Aether Theorist, obviously, like, you play it on turn, if you play it on turn 2, and, you know, obviously you can't use it because it has a tap ability. But if your opponent, for instance, doesn't play something that it's going to want to block, because it is a 1/3,
yeah,
which is a reason why you wouldn't want to tap it during your main phase, is because it's like, oh, I'm going to leave it up as a blocker for a 2/2. And then on their end step, I'll be able to scry with it. But say that there's nothing that you want to block or you can't profitably block with this Aether Theorist, you can always also scry on your first upkeep.
Yes.
Which is the same with Glassblower's Puzzle Knot, which you do have to spend 3 mana, so that can be pretty impactful. But if you're, you know, if you're really pinched and it's kind of in the late game, it's always worth it. If you're like, you only have 1 or 2 more turns to be able to turn the game around, take that upkeep scry if you need to.
Yeah, upkeep scry. That's a next level tip for you out there in Magic Land.
Oh, Scryfish, how I miss you.
Isn't Scryfish so great?
He was so great.
Sigiled Starfish is the card we're referring to, of course.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Cutest card, I believe, from Theros?
Yeah.
Unless I chose something else.
I don't think you did.
I don't think I did either. Very cute, very good. Mm-hmm. Oh, 3 for 2, scryed. All right, the next evergreen mechanic we wanted to cover, and the last, is Prowess.
Yes, this came to us in Cons of Tarkir.
And a lot of people love Prowess.
Yes, so much so that they were like, yep, let's bring it back.
Bring it back. It's a very clean, elegant mechanic, which is part of the reason that it's been made evergreen. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, this creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn.
It's very important in a set like Kaladesh to remember that that means artifacts also, and vehicles, because when that vehicle comes, you know, when you're casting it, it doesn't see that it can become a creature if you crew it. It only says artifact vehicle. It doesn't see creature on there. So you're going to get that prowess trigger from casting an artifact that's not a creature, like, for instance, a vehicle.
So you don't necessarily need to announce your prowess triggers. It's not illegal for you not to announce them when they happen. But I, as a player, always do, because I want to keep a game state that both me and my opponent are aware of. And I kind of feel like I would feel a little bit like a jerk if I didn't announce it. But that's just my personal preference. Because not only to, like, just not be a jerk, but also because I need to remember. And if I say something out loud, chances are far greater that I will remember it. So this is just kind of a tip that I have. If you cast, like, you know, some kind of burn spell or whatever, I would just tap my creature. In this case, like, I'm looking at a Vedalken Blademaster, which is the 2/3 for 2 and a blue with prowess. I'd say trigger, and I'd tap it. And that would be how I would remind myself and both my opponent that that trigger did in fact happen.
Yep.
I want to point out, too, that the Vedalkens have 6 fingers.
Oh, what?
Did you notice that yet? They have 6 fingers, you guys. They killed Inigo Montoya's father.
All of them?
All of them.
Wow.
He's been looking for a long time. Turns out it was all the Vedalkens.
Well, it makes sense. Like, as far as I know, an eagle isn't a planeswalker.
Yet.
I wouldn't be surprised. But I feel like if he were a planeswalker, he would already be one. His spark would have ignited when he saw his dad killed.
Yes, that would be exactly
the
moment.
So either he is now or he's just not.
You guys, Princess Bride set, what do you think?
I mean, I would love it.
Wouldn't that be great?
It'd be really good.
Oh, come on, whoever owns the rights to that. Let's have a conversation.
Who does own the rights to Princess Bride?
Probably
whichever
Disney?
Company made it. It's not a Disney, Disney film.
Disney owns everything. They own the show, Megan.
What?
Yep, I forgot to
Am
tell
I
you.
Am I a cartoon?
You've been drawn. We're both animated. Hey, don't be sad about it. You can now get away from anvils that are coming at your head.
Oh.
Very fast. You can fall through holes in floors comically.
I can draw a circle on a wall and then run through the tunnel that I created.
All of these things you can do.
Perfect.
So, you know, learn to love it. That's all I have to say.
Yeah. I feel like Buttercup probably is.
A planeswalker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great.
She's the best.
Yeah. Robin Wright is like terrifying.
Now she is.
She is. But it's so crazy watching that now and being like, wow, like that's who you really are.
That's a big turn.
It really is. It really is.
But then again, it was a big turn when I saw Wesley in Saw.
Yeah. And Mandy Patinkin is in that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, reunion.
Man. Carrie Elwes is also in that Anne Hathaway, Ella Enchanted.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's terrible. He's there very briefly.
Wow.
Princess as like Bride. An evil king.
Great movie.
It really is. When it was on Netflix, I realized it was on Netflix and I was having to do a lot of work for something one night and I watched it 2.5 times in a row.
Did you just like it ended and you're like, you know what? I can watch this again.
I'm just going to hit play on this again. Because I was like working the whole time, so it's not like I was super actively watching.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. You know what I found out? There's a novel version.
I read it.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's super weird.
Such good reviews.
It's super weird.
Okay.
Because it's, you know how the movie has the framework of the grandpa reading to the kid?
Yes.
So the framework of the book is essentially like the author writes, like I think it's his dad, but it might be his grandpa, used to read him this book called The Princess Bride.
Whoa, Inception. As a kid.
Yeah. And then he was like, and I went to go read it as an adult, and I realized that he had skipped over these huge, boring passages.
That's great.
But all of the...
Because he does that in the movie, doesn't he?
The kid
kissing scene or something?
Yeah, exactly. But in the book, it's that he's skipping over, like, there's just chapters about like the minutiae of the political workings of the kingdom that are just so boring.
I would read that.
It's not like any, and so anyways, it's all, it's like framed in that weird way. It's great.
Awesome. Sounds really good.
It is. It's super interesting. Personal trivia. I became a fencer because of that film. I watched it so much as a kid. I saw Inigo Montoya and Wesley in that sword fight.
And you're like, I'm in.
I watched it so many times and I was like, I'm going to be Inigo Montoya.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Look, so many popular culture icons made us fencers. For me, it was Picard. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Evergreen Mechanics.
That's that. there are also a couple of other changes, some of them having to deal with keywords. Most notably, regenerate is going away. Thank goodness, because who could flipping remember?
Yeah, regenerate, not so good, being replaced with indestructible.
Yep, and if something, for instance, had an ability, like an activated ability where you could pay and make, like, regenerate the creature, instead you're just going to be able to pay and make it indestructible on new creatures.
The cat monkey, if you ever play that card, first of all, what are you doing? Second of all, you can just pay to give it indestructible instead of regenerate.
Yep, exactly. In a non-card, like, mechanic-related change, is now you may only pile shuffle once.
Hooray!
Thank goodness. It's a time thing. And it also encourages people to use many different kinds of randomization, because the best randomization is random randomization, where you are randomly randomizing with a random assortment of randomizing techniques.
Yeah. So pile shuffling, the only reason you should do it is to count the cards in your deck. It is not going to sufficiently randomize your deck. It's not going to pull apart your lands. It's not going to do anything better than a riffle shuffle will do. You just got
to
trust me.
Again, the idea is that you actually need to do multiple types. So it is one of a set of types that you can do. For instance, you can't only riffle shuffle because you're not actually super randomizing the top set and the bottom set of cards.
Can you riffle shuffle and cut?
You can riffle shuffle and cut. Yes. But you also, like, you basically always need to hand your deck, obviously, to the other person.
Yes.
Which is very important.
Yeah. So all of you pile shufflers who are doing it because you think it's better, that's a myth. It's an urban legend. It really doesn't. But it's good for counting your cards, which I advocate because I've been in situations where I've had a game lost because for whatever reason I've lost a card or whatever and didn't realize it. So, yeah. Changes.
It is some amount of randomization. It's just not sufficient by itself.
Not sufficient. So yeah, get to shuffling and get to shuffling your opponent's deck. We talk about that on the show a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those are your updates. There was no banned cards added to the banned or listed, banned or restricted announcement. So we're all good to go.
Yeah, party on.
Everything stayed the same. Pre-release fun times.
That's right, everybody. The pre-release happened this past weekend and we you know,
did it.
We played it.
We played two different pre-releases. Both were excellent.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun at both. Both were four rounds. Both had, you know, pre-release packs that we cracked boosters out of and built decks with. We played Magic.
We played at Mead Hall Games here in Minneapolis and Tower Games, so shout out to both of those places.
A lot of fun.
So, yeah, pre-release. God. Pre-release.
What is wrong with you?
What am I going to say when it's release weekend? Oh, dear. I'm putting too many pre's in front of everything. Overall, the set. Let's give some of our initial impressions. Do you want to do initial impressions first, or do you want to talk about the decks you played
first? Let's talk about specific decks first, because otherwise I'm going to forget them.
Go ahead.
So the first Saturday, I played Black-White. It was fairly controlling. It had essentially two sweepers because it had a Fumigate, which is just a straight wrath, kill everything. And then it also had Eliminate the Competition, which is the one where you can sack X creatures to destroy X creatures. That worked especially well in my deck because I had a Black-White Fabricate synergy going on with also an animation module, which in my deck was just sick because so many different things got counters or gave counters or just had Fabricate, which means that you essentially get both.
Yeah.
You can put a counter on your creature and also make a servo. I played against someone who had the two green-green sorcery where you can destroy like an artifact, an enchantment, or a land.
Yeah.
And at the time, to be fair, I was like, a little choked on mana. I think I was at like four black and a white, and they knew I had Fumigate in my deck, and also Angel of Invention, which is an insane card, BT Dubs.
Oh, yeah.
And so they chose to destroy my only planes.
Yeah.
And then I proceeded to just wreck them with animation module.
Well, to be fair, I don't know if I would be concerned about animation module. If I see it come down just randomly at the pre-release, I'd be like, all right.
You guys, animation module, if someone is playing it against you in limited, it is the real goddamn deal. I, at one point in that game, had like literally like 12 servos in play.
Sick.
In addition to all of my other great creatures, because animation module also says that you can pay three and tap and put another type, like another counter on something of a counter that it already has. So I would, you know, play something with Fabricate, put the counter on it, and make a servo. And then the next turn, if I didn't draw anything to do, I could just pay three and tap, put another counter on it, and make another servo, and do that indefinitely.
You're reminding me of Whirlermaker, the card that costs three, and you can pay four and tap it to make a Thopter.
Yes.
Which is a nice kind of mana sink, we call them, when there's nothing to do later in the game. Just crank out some Thopters. And I played it in my deck on the second pre-release on Sunday, and it wasn't great in my deck, but I did play against somebody on Saturday who had it in their deck, and it was very good in that deck.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting card that you and I just had very different experiences of, because I mentioned I had that in my Sunday deck, which was very different. Like, my Saturday deck felt fairly synergistic. Like I said, I had this, like, Fabricate, you know, counters, and then this this wrath that, or this one-sided wrath where you could I could just sack servos and destroy real things.
Yeah. Servos are real too, Megan. Servo fix.
So it was like, I think it was genuinely a strong, like, fairly balanced deck. Sunday, I opened, as all of my removal, one Malfunction and one Welding Sparks.
What more do you need?
And I did not play red because there was nothing else good in red. So I had one Malfunction. I was like, do you know what? Build blue-white skies and just like...
just don't care.
Kill people in the air
if I can. In the air, don't care. Oh! New catchphrase.
But what if you're on the opposite side?
Then you do care for
sure. Exactly.
But I'm going to say that. I'll be like, in the air, don't care when I play all my birds. Eddie Trailhawk, in the air, don't care. Boom.
Oh, man, I played two of that.
That card's sick.
It's pretty good. Although in my deck, it was only like medium because literally everything else flew. At one point, I remember looking at my board during a game and just being like, I have six creatures in play and they all fly.
Backbreaking.
Anyways, I was playing against a blue-black control deck and I had the Thopter Maker.
Yeah, Whirler Maker.
Whirler Maker. And I just remember having it in, I think, my opening seven at that point, which, to be fair, isn't ideally where you want it. But in this matchup, I was just like, I can't lose. Like, yeah. That card was just so good in that deck.
It does grant what we call inevitability at some point in the game, because even if you draw dead or whatever, mm-hmm. you're at the very least, you're making a one Thopter a turn. And a Thopter in this set, spoiler alert for what I'm going to say about what I think is strong, flying, very strong. So making these 1/1 Thopters is not bad. And pretty soon you have an army of them and they're just going to swing through any big flying blockers they have without caring.
Well, as I mentioned, like, that deck was just all about racing because there's no way I could deal with a bomb. So I'd just basically be like, flyer, 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 flyer. Hopefully you're dead. And that card was nice in that it was sort of like, okay, if I'm ahead, I can make a Thopter and then attack with it the next turn. And if the race is really tight, then I can leave back all of my better flyers and I can just make a Thopter and like chump with it.
Yeah.
And I still have all of these much better attackers to attack with.
Sure.
So, sick card.
So, who wants to hear the tale of all my rares?
Oh my God, you guys, Maria's rares.
So the first pre-release, I opened a foil Chandra. That's right.
It's beautiful.
It looks like the greatest thing I've ever seen with my own two eyeballs. It's beautiful. And I had a combustible Gear Hulk was my promo card. And I opened a torrential Gear Hulk. It feels good. So that was a good start to that deck. I also had two copies of Harness Lightning. Mm-hmm. Which is a great card. You get 3 energy and you can spend any amount of energy to deal that to target creature.
Sick card.
So instant. Pretty good. I also had Welding Sparks, which is, you know, going to be a real staple common, I think, in this set. So my pool was very good. The downside of the pool was the rest of my cards were pretty medium. But when you've got these,
my pool was the rest of the cards.
The rest of the cards, not great. But it turns out that sometimes you only need 2 Gear Hulks and you win a game. Newsflash.
Yeah.
Newsflash.
Yeah.
But it wasn't my most successful deck of the weekend, I will say that. It didn't do as well as my deck on Sunday. Saturday, I was 2-2 with that deck. I was beat over the face with flyers.
Yeah.
And Sunday, I was like, well, I now know that flyers, I think, are above average in this set, so I'm going to use those. So I opened Dovin Bond. So that was pretty sick.
Yep.
I also opened Saheeli's Artistry, which is should be mythic. I don't actually know about that, but it's straight busted. My opponent played a Noxious Gear Hulk against me, and I'm sure thought, haha, I've got this game sewn up. So Saheeli's Artistry, boom, make 2 Noxious Gear Hulks.
Because you can use it as the creature and as the artifact.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But once I did play Saheeli's Artistry, and I misplayed, and I chose their, what is it, the 3/3 that you can pay energy to give it +2/-2, or give it flying, or indestructible, or vigilance, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a
metalworker. No?
Gosh. It's got a strange name. But I...
Multiform Wonder.
Multiform Wonder. I targeted that with Saheeli's Artistry, and they just killed it in response. I was like, oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Although, it was a removal spell for a really good creature.
It was, so I didn't feel that bad. except that I... should have targeted something else as well. Anyway, so that deck was better. So I had those two cards, which were straight bombs. And, you know, fine removal like Skywhaler Shot. I had a couple of Select for Inspections, which doesn't seem to be the greatest card on its face. But I think we talked about it last episode. And I think it's pretty strong just because you have the ability to bounce their huge, like, murder train when it comes down the Aradar Express or some other giant vehicle that they've crewed. Doesn't matter. And you're like, bye.
That really is where that card shines, I think, at this point. When they crew a vehicle and they attack with it, it's like, well, you just tapped all of these creatures and I'm going to bounce one but get more value than bouncing a single creature.
Right, and you get a scry off of it as well, which is really sweet. I had a Fairgrounds Warden for additional removal as well as a Malfunction. And I think, though, the real strength in the deck was my sweet, sweet rares, but also the fact that I was playing Sky Swirl Harrier, that bird. I had a couple of that bird. And
the 3/4 flyer for 4 and a white.
Yes, and I played a Sky Skiff because I was like, well, this card is just good, and I just want to fly over and get people with that. So I'm thinking, this is the card I wanted to point out. I had the Peacocks, the 2/4 that you can pay blue to give them flying. And I peafowl, Dukara peafowl, which, by the way, did you know female peacocks are called peahens?
Yeah.
Fun fact. I found that out in high school, and I was tickled for an entire day. Peahen.
Who tickled you?
My mind. So on Saturday, I played against these peafowls and been wrecked by them. And I was like, wow, this card seems fine, but it didn't seem great. But now I think that card is above average in this set, just because there's so much on the ground trying to pound at you and just like getting gummed up because these vehicles are sitting there staring across from each other, not knowing what to do, that I just play blue and I get you in the air for two. Like, that's fine. My opponents had to kill my peafowls. Like, that's sad. It's a 2/4/4.
Yeah.
And they had to kill it.
Poor peafowl.
Yeah, they're pretty cute. So I felt a little bad about it, but they did their job, you know? So that was my main takeaway from the format. There were a lot of board stalls, complicated board states due to crewing and vehicles, and I think flying is above average.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Man, I don't know. I'm still mulling it over.
All right, just cook it up there, you know?
Yeah, I will. It's like rice. It takes a while.
We're going to be playing our first friend draft coming up this week.
Yeah.
So we'll tell you next week our first experience drafting the format.
Very exciting.
I know. I'm so pumped.
I'm very excited.
So we asked you for your initial comments on this set. And we got some really great ones on Twitter and Facebook. And here's one from Logan. Story from Logan's pre-release. If your opponent drops a Sword of Fire and Ice after driving Sky Sovereign with Nissa's Animated Land, you should just scoop.
Yep. Very true.
Wow, that pool is better than mine.
Oh, man. Okay, wait. I will say one thing.
Yeah.
Actually, that's my first takeaway. I think that with the exception of a game or like a pair of games where first I got mana screwed in one game, it was over very quickly, and then my opponent got mana screwed in the next game, and it was over very quickly. Like, every game that I played this weekend was fun.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, I always enjoy the pre-release, but at the same time, it's, you know, like, it's tiring. It's a long day. And I just remember at the end of it being like, holy crap, I don't want to stop playing.
Yeah, it's a great set.
I want to keep going. Just because every game that I played was interesting and fun and cool.
And you kind of never knew what was going to happen next, which is like something you can say about Magic a lot of the time. But for some reason, I feel like makes a little more sense now because, for instance, my opponent's attacking with a Sky Sovereign and I'm like, oh God, this huge ship is swinging at me, killing, you know, dealing 3 when it attacks or whatever. And then I'm like, malfunction.
Yeah.
There it goes. Bye. You know?
Yeah.
So there's answers even to the biggest bombs in this format as well. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, really fun. I encourage you guys to go out there and draft once it becomes available. Or if you want packs at your pre-release, get your friends together, man.
Yeah.
We recently learned of listeners who are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Who started a play group in their town called Magic the Casualing.
Awesome.
It's so great. So
which is obviously for, you know, players who are casual and want to have, you know, just a really fun time playing Magic.
Yeah.
To get together and play. That was super cool.
It warms our little hearts. So yeah, thank you so much for writing in about that. And yeah, go ahead, start your own play groups out there, everybody. It's pretty fun, and you can even have name your play group. We don't have a name for ours.
Don't we?
Do we?
Let's name it right now while they're not here.
They don't get a vote? Okay, great. I'm in.
Ooh, what's it going to be called?
Knights of the Rectangle Table.
No.
Okay.
Too predictable.
Raccoon
Square Dance.
Why?
I mean, for the surprise factor.
What if we called it Two Girls and... four guys and pizza being delivered.
That's just a literal description of what it is.
Raccoon square dance it is. Okay. Do you think Chandra gets sunburns?
I mean, like, she's kind of pale.
Because she's like a redhead, right? Yeah. Redheads get sunburned.
Yeah.
But she's a pyromancer, so does that negate it?
I don't know. Well, okay, it depends on what kind of, like, pyromancer she is. Because the sun could be, like, different kind of, you know, the sun is technically fission.
Maybe her fire is like...
Or fusion. The sun is fusion.
I don't know.
Crap, I need to answer this. You keep going.
Okay. Maybe her fire is like the kind of fire that doesn't sunburn you. Would you get sunburned sitting in front of like a campfire?
No. Okay. The sun's energy comes from fusion.
That's, fusion. Okay.
Yes, because it's much easier for us as like human beings to create fission because that's when you bust them apart.
Yeah.
But fusion is when they combine come back together, which is just an insane amount of energy and a plot point in Spider-Man 2.
Oh, Spider-Man 2.
Do you remember that one? That's the one with Alfred Molina as Doc Ock.
Yes, I do.
Anyways.
I like Alfred Molina.
Me too.
He played Hercule Poirot.
I can super see that.
You know, I gotta say, he was no David Suchet, but he was okay. Yeah. But I really liked him as Doc Ock, and I've seen him in other stuff and really like him too.
So my point is that if Chandra is essentially like campfire pyromancing, then that's different from like fusion pyromancing, because fusion isn't even really pyromancing. It's a nuclear reaction.
All right, Vorthos people, we need your answer on this. What kind of fire does Chandra create?
I'm pretty sure it's of the earth, you know, campfire variety.
Does she have mini suns in her hands, or is it a campfire?
Oh man, calling them mini suns is pretty cool though.
Tweet at us at MTAcast and let us know.
But the issue in Spider-Man 2 is that he had to have that weird, you know, thing on to contain it, because otherwise it would get out of control.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Do you want to talk about Spider-Man 3?
No one wants to talk about Spider-Man 3.
That's correct. Flavortext Theater presents Cosmo Quiz.
Which Kaladesh gremlin are you?
Oh, I've often wondered this question, Megan, because I'm really into these gremlins and I want to know, how do I know which one I am?
Well, now we have a quiz to let you know which one you are.
So if you're playing along at home, make sure to mark your answer.
Yep.
Because you want to find out.
So it'll either be answer 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Yep.
So just write down the number that corresponds with your answer to the question.
The gremlins that you could potentially end up being are, well, maybe I should just save them and say at the end.
Yeah, we're going to save them for the end.
We won't give you any clues. So first question, wait, are you going
to
mark?
We have to take this. Okay.
Here's a pen for you. Here's my pen.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Question number one. Okay. It's your first big date with a major cutie. What shoes are you wearing?
Kitten heels. 1. 2. Oh shit. I ate my shoes. 3. Wheelies. Or 4. Go-go boots.
Ooh, great question. Okay. I got it. Ahem. You and your girlfriends are planning a big trip to Maui. What kind of rental car are you scoring?
1. Smart car. A delicious, delicious smart car. 2. I don't know, but it better have airbags. 3. Can you rent drag racers? 4. Party bus.
Ooh, this is a hard one.
Yeah, man. Okay, I have to think for a second.
I think I've got my answer. Like, if I could, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
What's the first sign Mr. Right is actually Mr. Wrong?
1. He doesn't want kids. 2. He doesn't have renter's insurance.
Always ask.
3. He doesn't want to do it on the first date. 4. He'd rather stay in and watch Law and Order than party.
Tough one for me. This one. Okay. How would you describe your home decorating style?
One, I hide milkshakes all over the house for secret snacking. Two, you're lucky if your house is standing. Three, it's all IKEA and it's all put together wrong. Four, abandoned carnival chic.
Ooh, nice, nice. Okay, got it.
Okay.
You're having a cozy night in watching Bridget Jones's Diary. What do you order from Bite Squad?
One, warm mother's milk. Two, Pop Rocks and Diet Coke. Three, ramen. Four, what's a cozy night in?
Great, great. Okay, got it.
Wow, mine were way over, all over the place.
All over the board?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's time to add up your scores.
That's right. Once you've got it all added, we will let you know. Okay, so here you go. If your score was between 5 and 8, including 5 and 8, you are...
Thriving Grubs! Congratulations, you're the cutest card in the set. And you probably also picked Mother's Milk for your answer, so what's wrong with you?
If your score was between 9 and 12, including 9 and 12, you are...
Demolish! That's a cute little grub who's, I mean, he's a full-grown goblin, looking up from what he's just destroyed like, did I do that? Which
he's the Urkel of Gremlins?
Yeah, he's the Urkel of Gremlins.
Oh my god. and if you're between 14 and 16, including 14 and 16, you are...
Brazen Scourge! You're a 3-3 Hasty Goblin for 3.
Nice. And if you're between 17 and 20, including 17 and 20, you are...
Terror of the Fairgrounds! You're a 5-2 for 4, and you're here to smash face.
Nice.
So, Megan, which one were you?
I am the Steve Urkel of Gremlins.
So am I! I'm you also are? Demolished.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I think is accurate because there's so many times in my life I've looked up to like an authority figure and they've looked down at me and I've been like, did I do that? It's accurate. So please post on our Twitter please using the hashtag Gremlin Girl to let us know what you got in the Cosmo Quiz.
Hashtag Gremlin Girl. Which gremlin are you?
I want to crowdsource and find out what people got, like,
actually,
the most
I'm super interested. I was right. So my score was, what was your total?
10.
Okay, that makes sense. You're real close to being a thriving grub.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was exactly a 12, I'm like surprised because I would call myself either Demolish or a Terror of the Fairgrounds, but probably not a Brazen Scourge.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. See, you learn something about yourself.
Mostly,
really.
I really would describe my house as abandoned carnival chic.
You said that. I saw you like get excited to write it down. I'm like, yep, I know
I was
which
just
one.
Like, yes. I thought about it. Like, I would legitimately sometimes describe my apartment like that.
And I picked, I hide milkshakes all over the house for secret snacking because if you come to my house, you'll notice that there are secret snacks hidden all around in various rooms. For instance, this bag of Cheetos was, you know, here. And yeah.
Although we ate all of those.
We did eat all of those. But
they were really good.
Yeah, secret snacking. Yeah, so that's congratulations to our patron who chose this topic at $3 and more an episode. You get to choose one. So good job. Great choice. I've been meaning to make another Cosmo quiz, so I'm glad that we did.
Yes, I agree. Hey, everybody. One last piece of business before we check out for the day and you check off this podcast listening. We have a couple of giveaways at the end of the month.
Yes. So did you write down their names?
I did.
Okay, great.
These are Patreon supporters. So the first giveaway is from anyone, from any of our Patreon, current Patreon donors. They are going to get a Nissa versus Obnixilis dual decks. Then there is the Khans of Tarkir pack that we cracked.
Yep.
As well as that sweet original...
magic art.
Original tokens.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. What's the name of the... Get it over here so we say it correctly.
It's original magic art.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, this specific...
Specific
set is the Marble Edition.
Ooh.
So we've got a sweet dice bag here.
Classic art tokens. That's what we were trying to say. This dice bag and this set
But yeah, you can find it under either name on Twitter.
Oh, yes, original magic art.
And like we said, these are just beautiful. So check them out if you haven't before. So yeah.
Anyways, this. So that is going to go to Nick Van Rokel.
Yay!
Congratulations, Nick. Please send us an email letting us know the address that we should mail that to. MagicTheAmaturing@gmail.com.
Congratulations, friends.
Yes. And then the second giveaway we do is to someone who started donating on Patreon just this month of September. And that is a Nyssa versus Obnix Nyxalis dual decks. And that is going to go to Kenneth Fritz.
Yay, Kenneth!
Yay! Once again, thank you to everyone who donates on Patreon. You really, really sincerely do make this show possible. And congratulations to our two winners. And next month, we will have another giveaway.
Yeah, so. We've got more great stuff to give away. Not only the cards that we open on this show, but also unopened packs and other sweet prizes that we've got coming in. So I'm excited for next month as well. So join up patreon.com/mtacast for your shot at winning some of this great stuff. I don't want to give us any spoilers away, but we have a pretty good prize.
Yeah, that we have a prize that we've been sitting on for a while.
To give away. Whoa, I had something in my throat. I don't really know what I was going to say. So,
well, it'll be coming up, you know, in the future.
Can't win if you don't Patreon. big thank you again to our sponsor, cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. Buy your singles there. It's going to be a fun time coming up in Standard. New Standard. I'm always excited by it. You should be too.
You're not always. There. You're newly excited.
I'm newly excited. That's right. And it's going to be great. So yeah, use them for all your card buying needs. We stand behind them and they stand behind us. So that's great. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter @MTAcast. Share with us your thoughts. Of course, use the hashtag Gremlin Girl to let us know what gremlin you are.
Yep. Send us an email, magicTheAmaturing@gmail.com. You can always send us mailbag questions, which we like to have to answer every once in a while. Mm-hmm. You can go to our website, magicTheAmaturing.com, and pick up sweet shirts or playmats with our Good Luck High Five logo on them.
Yeah, I just did another shipment of those today, so come on, order them up, and we'll send them off to you. They're low, low prices, and you can show everybody that you're like, hey, I'm part of this sweet club that listens to MTAcast because, in my opinion, you guys are all the best. And my opinion is basically fact. So there you have it. Go out there, enjoy Kaladesh, everybody, and have a sweet week until we see you/have you listened to us next time.